Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's D.A.
For the last time this week, you're going to hear that and then not get D.A. Damon is back from his week as Jim Rome on Monday. For these next 2 hours, it's still me, Andrew Bogish, with Pete, with Ryan, with the other Pete, and with you. Still a lot to do over these 2 hours, but as we begin this third hour, we are that much closer to actual college football games. So it is time once again. Our preview continues. It's Sound of Saturday.
The DA Show counts down the days until the electricity of college football season returns with the game's greatest voices.
It is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the deflection. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown Auburn. Touchdown Auburn. Got a block for Brown. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Touchdown Boston College. He did it. He did it. Cloney did it.
All the band is out. The Bears have won! Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
It's the Sounds of Saturday, every morning on CBS Sports Radio.
Portals. Blake back. Blindside pressure coming. Steps out. Buys time. Looks.
It's in the middle.
The Wharton. He overthrows him.
That is the voice of our next guest, and since I'm not a good host, I'll only tell you now that you're about to hear Mark Daniels. You can also see him. He's joining us on Zoom, so watch DA.com, YouTube, Twitch. You're getting to see the voice of UCF football with us here this morning. Mark, it is Andrew in New York. Thanks so much for the time, and happy almost football season.
Yeah, how about that? We're just a few weeks away, and you guys took me back to that memorable season 10 years ago for UCF, the first Fiesta Bowl year, and that great play by Blake Bortles and J.J. Wharton in Philadelphia against Temple. Great memories.
And, Mark, you've got a lot of them. This is well past 20 years for you with the school. So, I mean, you're as good as anybody to talk about just the rise of this program, a baby in FBS, and now a very deserved member of the Big 12.
Yeah, UCF is the youngest Power 5 school in the country. My first year was in 1995, and Dante Culpepper was a freshman. And back then, UCF was making the transition of what then was known as 1AA to Division I. And to watch the growth over the years as an independent to members of the MAC, Conference USA, in the Big East for about an hour and a half, and then the American for the last decade, and now into the Big 12. It's been a meteoric rise, as you mentioned. While it's about 30 years in college football years, it's not that long. So UCF has done a great job of growing its brand over the years, playing an exciting brand of football, a great fan base, the youngest alumni base in the country. So a lot of things going in the right direction as they embark on a new era of UCF sports in the Big 12.
Day-to-day on the field during camp, does anything feel different now that they're officially Big 12 members, or is that just more about like media days and that kind of stuff?
Oh, no. From the time, you know, it's almost 2 years now since an announcement was made about UCF going to the Big 12, and it's just been a different vibe. You know, when Gus Malzahn came here as the coach, we were not yet in the Big 12, didn't know that invitation was coming. But I think Gus and his staff have done a great job the last couple of years of preparing the football team from a roster standpoint, talent-wise, for the season to come. I think the fans certainly have had a level of excitement with a new set of rivals to get to know, new destinations to travel to. I think it's obviously gotten more real now as the season gets closer, just 3 weeks away.
What is, not this year, Mark, but like big picture, what do you think the ceiling for this program is now that it's in a Power 5 league?
Well, look, I've said this for many years, even before UCF's run of late. You go back to the arguments made about Boise State and other programs, is that, you know, the argument was, well, that's nice, but can you do that playing in one of those leagues? I mean, the argument was, are we going to give them the same resources and money? I mean, if we do, then let's see how they stack up. But I think it's an interesting time for UCF to join the Big 12, which is no question a step up. But if I asked you to guess the favorites for the next decade in the SEC and the Big Ten, you could probably guess the four or five teams that are going to annually be among the contenders. The great thing about where the Big 12 is right now is I don't think you can answer that question. Somebody may emerge in the next couple of years, but I think it's been one of the most wide open leagues the last few years in college football. The depth from one down to eight or nine has been not that big of a separation. So I think it's a really interesting time to step into the Big 12. UCF certainly is going to be challenged to raise their level of competition. But I think UCF's got a great opportunity to continue to recruit at a high level, which they're doing right now. Florida has no shortage of talented players here. It's a destination for a lot of reasons. So there's a really good trajectory going on. You have to go out and prove it. But I think UCF's in a really good place right now as they step into this new Big 12.
What is – because there's going to be – Mark, there's going to be bumps in the road stepping up into a bigger league like this. What's the patience level around the program right now?
For fans, none. I mean, the expectation, you know, you go undefeated in 2017 and 18. I think that's supposed to happen every single year. Look, I think fans understand the challenge here in the sense of now a nine-game conference schedule, that grind, that extra game does matter. Now going to environments that are just different. I've said this, the American was a great conference for UCF, but there were some places you play that there was not a very large crowd. Now you're going to play at places that are sold out every single game, and you got to be able to handle that environment. You hope to do the same when teams come to your place. So I think there's that part of it. Are you ready for the grind and the expectation of what lies ahead? But I think it's an exciting time. Again, I think Gus has done a really good job of building this team up using the portal in the last few years, with a mix of talented high school players, that he's positioned himself that I think they're ready for that talent jump. On the field, look, I mean, UCF's got quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs. The question usually is the quality of your lines, your offense and defensive lines. Are they ready for that challenge of the quality that you're playing on a week-to-week basis? I think we'll find that out about UCF this season.
If Gus or the AD or you, in an extreme moment of honesty, and I said to you, what is the kind of the target date for peak Big 12 performance? Would you say this year? Would you say 2025? Like, what if there's a target date to really be in full step in the conference? When, what would it be?
Well, look, I think Gus and the staff will tell you that they want to contend for the title this year. I do think that, you know, you take a look and say, could UCF use a couple more recruiting cycles to feel like you're now on par? Look, right now, UCF has the highest recruiting class projected in 2024 in the Big 12 now. So if you can get a few more of those recruiting classes, then I think you feel like you're stacked up. From a revenue standpoint, remember, UCF and the other schools coming in this year, they're not getting full shares for a couple of years. The four Pac-12 schools are beginning next year. So you're going to have to, again, escalate an investment standpoint. UCF's overall athletic budget is still something that they're trying to increase to the tune of about $30 million the next couple of years. So I think that's a fair answer, is to continue to rise, give Gus and his staff a couple more years to recruit at the level they're recruiting now. And then I think UCF believes that they have as good as a chance as anybody to compete on a yearly basis. They know in a 16-team league, it's challenging, but I think they feel like they have so many advantages that there's no reason to think they are not able to contend in the coming years.
You mentioned how good the recruiting has been, especially as of late. I'm assuming most people are surprised by that, that it's happened this quickly, that are pulling in this level of talent.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is the highest rated class at the moment that UCF has ever had. And depending on what service you look at, 23, 24, 25, the caliber of player that Gus has been able to get in is something UCF's not had before. It was a really big deal if you landed a four-star kid at UCF. Well, right now in a, you know, committed class, Gus has nine, and he's not done. So it's selling the vision of the program, of what they have, the facilities they're going to build, the quality of the league they're playing in, the opportunity to play in the college football playoff. And, you know, sometimes what happens with recruiting classes, you get a few guys, they become your best recruiters. They start to get other guys say, hey, let's go down here and do something unique and special. But Gus is a great recruiter. I mean, he really is. And, you know, UCF, like a lot of schools, they're challenged in an NIL world. But at the same time, I think they feel like their collective's in a good place to give them a chance to compete in that market for players. And so far, the results, again, at least verbal commitments, looks as if they're building a very special class.
This is the voice of UCF football, Mark Daniels, with us here. Sounds of Saturday on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know, Mark, you and I are becoming quick friends here. The problem, though, is as much as I love UCF, this show is very deeply connected to Boise and the Broncos, and you guys go there for game two. I'm not sure how we can handle that game on September 9th.
Biggest game of the year for UCF. I tell people that, you know, the level of excitement about the Big 12 schedule and those nine games, and we're challenged by four home, five on the road, go to Oklahoma, go to Kansas State. But the Boise State game is so significant. UCF opens with Kent State. You go out to Boise State, such a tough place to play. A football team that came to Orlando a couple of years ago, and UCF won that game. You look how Boise finished the season last year. Very talented quarterback. Their offense seemed to kind of start clicking again. Tough place to play. If you win, you come home for Villanova. You think you're 3-0 going to Kansas State and then Baylor at home, and you feel pretty good. If you lose, it kind of has a little bit of a, you know, win taken out of your sails. So I tell people, be excited about the Kansas State game to kick off the Big 12 era. Be excited about Baylor at home on the 10th anniversary of us beating Baylor in the Fiesta Bowl. But the Boise State game is such a pivotal game for UCF. And believe me, UCF not looking past it. Tremendous respect for what the Broncos are all about.
Am I remembering this correctly? When they came down by you, did you guys have a crazy weather delay and play that game like at 11 o'clock at night?
The game was delayed because of a rain and a lightning. So we did have a delay. The game did start late. We finished, I think, just before 1 a.m.
Okay.
On the next day. So it was 2 days to win a hard-fought football game, yeah.
Mark, this was fun. Congrats on, you know, being there from kind of day one. It must be amazing to see. So congrats even to you. Enjoy the Big 12. Best of luck. Safe travels this season. I'm sure we'll get you again during the year, too.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too. That's Mark Daniels, the voice of UCF. As sounds of Saturday continue. It's heady times in Orlando. The bounce house is one of the best environments, maybe underrated still, not fully aware of it just yet, but that place is nuts. The school is insane. My nephew, my godson, just graduated from UCF. The amount of growth in the school is insane. It is a huge school, which means huge numbers of alumni. There's a lot of money in play. There'll be more money in play. They have kind of had a vision for the longest time, built a stadium ahead of time. They've just keep going up and up and up and up and up a rung in power. And they clearly had some leverage, and they had a lot of suitors with teams looking for new schools, were leads looking for new schools. And here they are in the Big 12. And Mark makes a lot of good points about the Big 12 in general. Texas and Oklahoma leave, and you look around and you see schools that have been good at times, but there's a cycle up and down, up and down. They're not always just sitting there like Alabama and Georgia are always sitting in the SEC. Like right now, Clemson is always sitting atop the ACC. Like there's always Ohio State and Michigan to worry about in the Big Ten. The Big 12's open. The Big 12's open, and the team's still coming from the Pac-12. That doesn't change that dynamic either. And while UCF, you know, isn't there just yet at full Big 12 mode, you'd have to believe they're going to get there, and they show up already in a good spot. Now, I think the things that you have to remember, this team with a lot of the same personnel, same quarterback in John Rhys-Plumlee from a year ago, they lost five games last year. They lost two in the conference. They lost to Louisville and Duke. They beat Georgia Tech. Those are the three Power 5 schools that they played. They were 1-2. And history will tell you, if you go back and look at teams that have jumped into a Power 5 league recently-ish, that sometimes that first year is actually okay, then there's a step back, and then they go again. That seems to be the pattern. Nobody hits the ground running and just flies right through it. And if they did, and I'm forgetting them, that's the outlier. Usually as you get there, and you take your lumps for a second, there are some bumps in the road, and as Mark said, it takes still a couple of trips through the transfer portal and the recruiting trail to really fill out the depth. That, to me, in college football, that's where the differences lie. you can stumble on 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know, 10 good players that can lead the way on both sides of the ball. But it's once you get past those 10, when you're playing in the group of five and whatnot, that like that top third at best, the roster's good. But the middle third and the bottom third, they've got to play. And that's where you take your beating, whether it's over the length of a game or particular parts where you just don't have enough guys to handle the other team. And that might still be one of the worst teams in a Power 5 league, but they're still just better than you top to bottom. So that's why the recruiting uptick has been so significant at UCF, and Mark had the numbers. You know, they've got more four-stars now committed than they had like over the previous combined years. So they're doing their best to fill things out, but history tells you that as good as UCF has been, and except for the COVID year, they've won at least 9 games the last like 5 or 6 seasons, they're going to be good. It's just hard to be great right away. It does help that they're in a conference where I don't know if anybody actually is great right now in the Big 12. Sounds of Saturday is just heating up. More guests lined up for next week when DA's back here. We've got that week. We've got the week after that. And then we've got most of that last week. We've got 15 full shows, if my math is correct, before we have any significant college football game. So we've got a lot of time left to spin you through all these different voices and all these different teams as we get set for real football. Speaking of real football and betting on real football, it's a problem, and it keeps getting worse at Iowa and Iowa State. That's next, the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. We really should say that more in everyday life. Happy Being Alive Day. It's just, it's good to be alive. It's good to be here. It's good to be seen. It's good to see Pete the Body Bilotti tucked behind a replica Stanley Cup, I believe, and a beach ball. I see a boxing glove. Doing a lot of sight gags this week for WatchDA.com, YouTube, and Twitch. And a lot of inside jokes, which is par for the course on this show.
I mean, all these shows have all the stuff on the sets.
So now we're the set guys. Other shows are doing food bits.
Right.
We're doing sight gags.
Sight gags. Build 4,000 things on one board.
Waka waka.
That's right.
All right. Sign me up. I'm in. And hopefully you guys enjoy this half as much as me and Pete and I think Ryan do. That's all we're shooting for.
Cap loves it.
And you know what? Good. Good. Cap deserves it. Cap works hard. Weeding through my complaints. Cap smiling. We're in a good spot. We've had this story on the show and it updates a lot over the last, I don't know, is it 3-4 weeks at this point now? 7 more Iowa and Iowa State players are now charged in connection to illegal sports gambling in the state. It is 4 Cyclones and then 1 current Hawkeye and 2 that have transferred to other schools. So these are all active players. Iowa State's already had their starting quarterback caught up in this, and now their starting running back, Jarrell Brock, is involved. And this charge, by the way, I guess I missed the description. It was always called like falsifying records is what they've actually been charged with here. And we were never sure what that was. I never dug into it more. I finally found out yesterday, and this might be not be new news to any of you guys, but just in case it is, I'm going to share it. The actual charge is connected to these guys using somebody else's identity. We had the quarterback who was using his mom, and the mom was on board. One of the guys now used his girlfriend. Somebody else used just somebody, you know, another. So just impersonating somebody else to circumvent the rules is what the technical crime is. And it's a misdemeanor for all of these guys. But the legal stuff, the legal side almost doesn't matter here. What matters is the more guys connected, the higher the ratio now is going of these guys betting on their own games. Of these 7 that were named yesterday, most of them bet on the games they play, some of the games they played as well. They were betting a lot, mini Phil Mickelsons, mini Bilottis. So they're on their way to having pictures of them as the gambler. They're not there yet, but they're trying. But they've all been, to some extent, wagering on themselves, wagering on their teams. One guy picked Texas to beat his Iowa State team a couple of seasons ago. And that's the problem. The problem is it's not just them betting on March Madness, Sunday NFL games, is that they're betting on games that they're involved in. And it doesn't matter whether they're picking to win or lose. I guess it's worse if you're betting on your team to lose, but it doesn't matter. You certainly can't be betting on games that you're involved in. And there is no way that this is a specific problem to schools in the state of Iowa. This is going on everywhere. How bad, we'll never know. But it's got to be a major problem. I don't know that everybody is breaking any laws in falsifying their account information and their identity. There are people, at least in terms of the law, correctly placing sports bets, but they just shouldn't be doing them as players involved in said games. And every single college, I kind of don't care what's going on. You know, the NFL made a big show of, the NFLPA, when we had the Lions and the Commanders and the other guys in the Broncos, that the league is not telling us enough about the rules and what we can do and what we can't do. I don't have much sympathy for that. I've got a little more sympathy for these college kids, that they need to be, the schools better be making them aware of what they cannot do. Because that's the actual community that's in real danger here. Real danger of getting themselves in trouble, bending rules, breaking rules. I think they're also clearly more susceptible to outside influences, because in the pros, there's always going to be guys who want more money, whatever. But in college, the large majority of these athletes, they all need more money. No matter where they came from, that's not what I'm talking about. Just NIL money has made certain people, I'm sure, jealous that they're not getting any. And this quarterback, that point guard, whatever, has all of this and all of that and all these fans and notoriety. There are players that come from tough upbringings that need any, one more dollar, and they see other guys getting it. So those are the guys that can fall prey to this, that could try just to get the money on their own, that could have been influenced by somebody else to take a dive, miss a shot, whatever. This has always been a bigger danger in college sports. But now that it's so easy to place these bets, it's that much more dangerous and that much more significant. And I hope no one's being naive, no one's being short-sighted, no one's going, this can't happen to my players on my campus. My unofficial guess is it's happening on more campuses than it's not. Not necessarily the extreme of players betting on their own games, but betting where they shouldn't be betting, or maybe betting through ways they shouldn't be betting, stealing or being given dad's identity, using a buddy. And everybody that's been involved in this, that's a current player, is in danger of losing all of their eligibility from the NCAA. And that does nobody any good. And we probably should be paying a little more attention to this story, because it just keeps growing. And now we've got two different starters, other prominent players at Iowa State and Iowa, multiple schools because of transfers, monitoring situations of guys' eligibility. Should we let them play at a football game coming up? What if they're ultimately deemed ineligible? What do we do there? Our focus has always kind of been on the pros and all the different leagues being in bed with the different sports books and whatnot, and what kind of messages this sends, what kind of contradictions and hypocrisy does this create. We touched on it very briefly this week because ESPN is now fully in the gambling world. ESPN Bet is coming, and we're already kind of hearing, reading between the lines, reports and whatnot, how they're going to handle this, how they're going to keep separation between the newsmakers who can affect these lines and affect bets and the betting side now of the operation. Remember when everyone freaked out about Shams possibly affecting bets at FanDuel because he was breaking news about who was going to get picked or who was not going to get picked in the NBA draft? Like, that's what ESPN is walking into. There are so many dangers here, but we probably didn't focus enough on the lowest rung of athlete when it comes to, needing money, needing cash, needing help, needing whatever. It's these college athletes who, whether they're betting on their friends with inside information or betting on their games they're in, there's so many more opportunities on that level with those athletes to create real significant trouble. I hope that everybody that's involved on the campus level, conference level, they are doing every last thing possible to stop problems that are going on right now and to prevent as many of them as possible from moving forward. More NFL preseason conversation is on the way this morning. We already broke down very briefly Patriots and Texans, the Vikings and Seahawks. I now need to say those two team names very slowly after a quick inside my head confirmation, since I called them the T-Wolves by accident yesterday and then the Mariners on purpose. But now I have talked myself into this little mini mental jail about which Minnesota team played which Seattle team in professional preseason football last night. So we'll get to that game in just a second. But it's time now for headlines and stun to a news. Here's Peter Schwartz.
Bogues, a sight for sore eyes for the Dodgers and their fans last night. Clayton Kershaw returning from the injured list. He picked up a no decision in the Dodgers' 2-1 win over the Rockies, but Kershaw pitched well, giving up a run and three hits over five innings.
It was good. You know, it was good to get through five. You know, I only threw like four up downs in my lives, so to get through five is probably good. And, you know, pitch count's not as important as the, you know, sitting up and going back out there for the inning. So get through five is good, and, you know, hopefully, you know, the leash keeps getting lengthened as I go and get back to normal pitch count here soon.
Max Muncy homered in the seventh to tie the game, drew a bases-loaded walk of the eighth to give the Dodgers the lead. Muncy told Sportsnet LA it was great to have Kershaw back on the mound.
It was really good to see him back out on the mound. We missed him. You know, guy's competitor, he went out there and brought it tonight. You know, it's just fun to have him back, and hopefully we can keep him through the rest of the season.
Kershaw struck out four, did not walk a batter. Now to Cleveland.
Manoah with the 1-2 pitch. Swung on, line drive, right field, base hit, maybe extras. Yes, it rolls to the wall. Tano will score. Rocchio's on his way to second. He's in with his second RBI double on the day. And the Guardians now lead it 3-1.
That was the call on Guardians Radio. The Guardians beat the Blue Jays 4-3. Other games yesterday, Red Sox over the Royals 2-0. The Cardinals beat the Rays 5-2. Tigers 3, Twins 0, Phillies over the Nationals 6-2, the Orioles beat the Astros 5-4, and the Pirates topped the Braves 7-5. Now to NFL preseason. Texans beat the Patriots 20-9 in his first taste of NFL football. Rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud, 2 of 4, 13 yards, an interception. The second overall pick in the draft had two drives in his first NFL action.
It's tough. I mean, like, the competitor in me was like, cuz, let me go back out there. Let me, like, fix my wrongdoings. Like you said, it is just a preseason. It's a learning opportunity for myself and really this whole football team.
Davis Mills, Case Keenum each with a touchdown pass. In Seattle, the Seahawks beat the Vikings 24-13. Drew Lock threw for 191 yards, two touchdowns. Head coach Pete Carroll summing up the night.
Well, tonight was nothing but fun. We had a great time. It was hard getting started. You could tell that this was the first time we tackled anybody. That's why we used the preseason games. And, man, we needed the first quarter to kind of just, whatever, shake the cobwebs or whatever. And the defense came back from the second quarter on. They played great. Played great all night long. And then those young kids did a beautiful job.
Seahawks wide receiver Kay Johnson suffered a concussion during the second quarter, taken off the field on a stretcher, taken to a hospital. But initial tests show that Johnson had no issues besides the concussion. 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan revealing yesterday his team had his team advance to the Super Bowl. Quarterback Philip Rivers was prepared to come out of retirement to play, and that certainly would have been an interesting sight. College football, four more Iowa State football players, along with three more members of the Iowa football program, have now been charged in the state's investigation into sports gambling. It's alleged several players bet on games that they played in. And Jordan Spieth has the lead after one round of the St. Jude Championship. Spieth, 7-under, one shot better than Tom Kim. And now, it is time to get started.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I think, Bogues, this has to be the worst nightmare for anyone who goes to the bathroom, puts the seat down,
okay,
and sits.
Okay.
Like a scene out of a horror movie, Michelle Lesfran returned to her Tucson, Arizona home to find a snake had set up camp in her toilet. I'd been gone for 4 days and was looking forward to using my own restroom in peace.
Mm-hmm.
I lifted up the lid and he or she was curled up. Lesbron told the Associated Press, thank God the lid was closed. The hysterical encounter happened. I didn't say that. That's in the story.
Oh, okay.
I can't take credit for that.
Fine.
Encounter happened July 15th, but Lesbron has been getting messages from family, friends, and even people she went to high school with since Rattlesnake Solutions, a Phoenix-based company that removed the snake, recently posted an employee's video. Everybody has the same reaction. Oh, my God, that's my worst nightmare. Other people thought it was a prank video, and the snake was a prop. Even my law partner was like, ha-ha, nice gag, she said. Les Bryant said her father tried to wrangle the snake that same night, but it slithered away. So she called Rattlesnake Solutions the next morning. It took the handler, who Lesbron called her hero, 3 tries to get the black and pink coach whip snake firmly in his grasp. He was able to wrestle the snake with one hand while capturing it all on his cell phone with the other.
So the snake was in the toilet bowl or in the tank part?
It was in the toilet bowl.
So she opens it up to sit down, goes... Holy crap.
Holy crap, smacks it right down, and it took a company to come and get it out of the toilet bowl.
And you said Tucson, huh?
Tucson.
So Rattlesnake Solutions could have been the presenting sponsor of Big Baby and the Landfill if that show had become reality. It could have been presented by Rattlesnake Solutions. Here's the stun to a news part to me.
Big Baby!
Brought to you by your friends at Rattlesnake Solutions. Did you open up the crapper and almost get zapped? Call us. The fact that Tucson, Arizona needs a company called Rattlesnake Solutions is a problem for me.
Yeah, I crossed that off my list of destinations.
The fact that there are enough problems with rattlesnakes that need solving, that a company was created and continues to exist, that's a red flag for me.
It is. And Brian Hughes, who's the owner of Rattlesnake Solutions, said it wasn't the first time his staff has seen a coach whip snake in a home, though it's rare to find reptiles in residences. Fortunately for Lesbron, the species non-venomous. Still, she was taking no chances. After her reptile run-in, Lesbron used her guest bathroom for 3 weeks before feeling comfortable enough to go back to her own. And she no longer enters the bathroom in the dark and always lifts the lid ever so slowly.
The assumption being that the snake came up through the pipes?
Yeah.
Is that what they're guessing?
Yeah.
Now, there was a stun recently where somebody found an animal that was too big for the pipes to get in, and we couldn't figure out how it would have climbed back up through the sewer system. There was like some kind of like woodland creature, I feel like, in the tank. But anyway, at least this physically makes sense that the snake could slither its way through the pipes, come up through the toilet, and stays in the nice, dark, cool... Yeah, I mean, could you go to the bathroom again in any bathroom for the next couple of days after that happened to you?
I'm surprised she went back even after 3 weeks.
I don't know how you'd ever believe that it wouldn't happen again. Like, what could somebody tell you about snake-proofing your drainage system that they're never going to crawl their way back into your house?
I don't know what I would do. If that was my house, I don't know what I would do.
You burn it down.
Oh, you hate snakes.
I don't like snakes.
So this is really your worst nightmare.
It's not the worst. Like, it didn't like... It's like a venomous snake would have been 10 times worse.
Sure.
But at the same time, I would never live where there's potential snakes up the pipes.
Right.
So that wouldn't happen to me. I can deal with rats.
Now, if the snakes only ate rats and didn't disturb me, fine. Come in the house. Have a good time.
You'll host them?
Yes, because a little bed and breakfast. I'll burn down the house if I have a bunch of rats.
Right.
I think Pete would name the snake Damien.
Or Jake.
Jake.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I was the leader in this for a while. Then Pete overtook me. We've both had a lot of unique house problems, some bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised this has not happened in some form, has not happened to you already, Pete, that something has crawled into somewhere in your house.
I hope not. No.
Go, there's a gator.
No, I would think that I am very secure in my location where I am now with that stuff.
Right. There are a lot of problems in our neck of the woods, but one of them appears to not be dangerous amphibians and reptiles coming through the pipes.
We have a lot of grounds opening up by us.
We've had sinkholes are a problem. That is a thing. Rising waters might be a thing. Dirty water is a thing. A woman got bit by a shark in New York City the other day.
A lot of people getting bit by sharks.
Well, it had not happened in New York on a New York City beach, or at least that beach, since 1953. 53. So that's a rarity. So things are happening, but the sharks have not come through the sewer system yet, at least.
Yeah, that's why I don't go to the ocean. I'll go to the beach, but I will not go in the ocean. I will sit in my chair, put the headphones on, read a book, read a magazine, have a catch with the kids.
So
I will not step foot in the ocean.
Sand gets everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not.
I can wash the sand off. I can't do anything if I get bitten by something.
See, I'd rather some kind of system where I can go from the boardwalk over the sand right into the water, enjoy the water, come out of the water, go back over the sand to the boardwalk and leave. But as we've discussed in long form on this show, you have no hesitation to go back to the beach, play catch, despite the physical problems that one trip to the beach
That physical problem actually was not on the sand. It was on concrete. It was a touch football game that I was playing with the kids.
Okay.
And I decided I was the quarterback for both teams, so I decided to call for a flea flicker and tossed it back to Jared. I ran, and as I ran, my hip broke.
So there's no PTSD from that, but the possibility of a shark attack.
A year later, we went back and finished the play.
Oh, we remember.
Yes.
We remember.
So, no, I have no problem. I like being on the beach. I just will not step foot in the ocean.
I can't wait to be in the ocean. And I'm to be honest, I don't want anybody
to prefer to go to a pool. Yes. I prefer the pool.
I'm a pool guy first, but I don't hate the ocean. And I say this, don't want anyone to get hurt, but I want to see a fin offshore through the waves. Just want to see it.
I'll pass.
I would rather walk through a car wash than go in the ocean.
All right. That feels like a thing we could make happen.
That's a good gimmick. That's our next bit.
What would you eat while you were walking through the car wash?
Nachos.
With ranch dressing.
That's right.
And bacon.
I've had enough ranch dressing.
And ice cream.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's your PTSD.
Yeah, no. I don't like ranch dressing.
Sunsy nachos.
When we come back, Minnesota's football team played Seattle's football team last night in a preseason football game. We'll discuss it on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
Final few minutes of hour number three on this summer Friday. Andrew Bogish in for DA once again. Pete's here. Ryan Botcher's here. Peter Schwartz is here. Unlike the previous 4 days, DA is not filling in for Jim Rome later today. Actually, not sure who is here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, but DA is enjoying another Friday off. He is back in the chair next Monday. Did we ever get an answer, Pete, on who's filling in next Friday when both DA and myself are off?
Sorry, I had to find my button.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Here.
No, I was asking yesterday, and then I got caught up, so I got to ask again today.
That schedule is not... I know you don't make it.
It might be out. It might be out. I'll look. I should have an answer before the end of the show.
Because I don't want to create any more drama. I don't want to make any more work for you. But people did get excited about the possibility of Boyle plus Caserta next Friday. And that was just me thinking out loud. I know nothing about that. Although I just did see Boyle here. So I guess I could ask Boyle if he knows if Boyle's hosting next Friday.
Somewhere. I'll find it.
There's no rush, P. It's only been 23 hours. You take your time.
I'll relax. I was trying to get my beach balls.
Oh, okay. Place a wager on who's hosting next Friday.
Get lost. I'm a compulsive gambler. No.
What'd you bet on yesterday?
What?
What'd you bet on yesterday?
Nothing.
What'd you bet on Wednesday?
Nothing. I don't think. No.
Tuesday?
Nothing. I don't have I'm not Pete Rose.
This is what I got.
Have a tabulation.
He's forgetting. It's dangerous.
This is
overlax.
What a guy with a problem would say.
Yeah, 50 cents.
I don't have a problem.
50 cents on the Mets to lose. I mean, with a buck.
You did admit this week you did lose a parlay. Somewhere along this week, you admitted to, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, we were talking about Boyle and you're creating a parlay, and you said, I had one that didn't pay off yesterday.
It was a little bit of a special that they have, the home run special.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like
he knows the deals.
Like a buck on like four guys that hit a home run.
Right. So, again.
Win a house after that, but I lost. So, it's like playing a lotto.
But as Ryan said, you forgot. That's not good.
Oh, get lost. Don't you have a topic to talk about?
I don't. That's why we're doing this right now.
Yes, you do. You talk about the Vikings and the Seahawks.
Top of the hour, Destin Adams from A to Z Sports will check in, mostly on the Colts, but what's going on around the rest of the NFL. Full slate of games now. Finally, here's full week one last week.
Sports.
Wet in the appetite with the Jets and the Browns in the Hall of Fame game. Last night, Patriots-Texans. And then, say it slowly, the Vikings and the Seahawks played in Seattle. Kirk Cousins was there in full Kirk Cousins fashion. When Aaron Rodgers didn't play for the Jets last week, he wore regular clothes and put on a headset, and he talked to Zach Wilson. He called plays. He had fun with Robert Saleh, as we all saw on Hard Knocks. Last night, Kirk Cousins was wearing a Kirk Cousins jersey and his Vikings helmet, but no pads, standing on the sidelines.
Hi-dilly-ho, neighborinos.
I've told you more than once that Cousins stars in this Netflix documentary, Quarterbacks. That when I watched it, however many episodes, I'm not done yet, going along really well. I might have now taken a turn back in the other direction on Kirky, because the last thing that I just saw, I think now the second to last episode, he's putting his kids to sleep after the giant playoff loss. It's a great scene. It's super sweet until Kirk turns the lights off and goes, okay, let's sing and pray now, which is all fine and good. But then he starts to sing some kind of Bible Christian hymn with his kid.
God said to Noah, build yourself an arky-arky.
I wish it was that. This is not a religious hot take. It's just a privacy hot take. At some point, Kirk could have went, we're going to leave something in the editing room, guys. America doesn't need to hear me singing my children to sleep. I didn't read him a story. It was clearly staged. Read him a story, tucked him in. That's great. I don't need from a dark room hearing Kirk Cousins' singing voice hours after Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley sent him home. I don't need to hear him singing any song at all. It was just a weird conclusion to the Kirk Cousins episode. And then I wake up to pictures of him in his jersey, no pads, and his helmet, chin strap on, watching the Vikings and the Seahawks play preseason games.
That's a great investment.
He'd be a killer high school. Like, he would act as a great high school quarterback that looks way too old for the role in like a Pix 11 show.
Okay.
That's what he would play, like a teen wolf Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. The CW.
I'm listening. yeah, Teen Wolf the series, which I think was a thing.
Yes.
We have Kerr come back as the quarterback. That makes a lot of sense.
Purple drapes. All my life I've wanted purple drapes.
There's actually, now that I think about it, Pete, there's a lot of reverse engineered Ned Flanders stuff in this quarterback's documentary, because right on cue, you've got him singing about Noah's Ark after Kirk sang some kind of sweet religious hymn with his kid. And then there is a scene too where he's picking out fruit for his son from the post-game spread. He's like, oh, you want strawberries? They look great. Here are strawberries. And ooh, purple grapes. Oh,
gotta dive into that.
Oh, they're the same. They are the same person.
Does he have family members named Rod and Todd?
He might. There's a lot of cousins, family members in the show rooting them on. Let's talk some Colts football. Destin Adams from A to Z Sports kicks off Hour 4 of the D Show right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.